Hi, and welcome to the Good Health Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Good, a registered nutritional therapy practitioner and functional medicine practitioner. Join me as we explore thyroid, brain, and fatigue conditions with positivity. From Hashimoto's to multiple sclerosis, chronic fatigue to adrenal dysfunction, I've got you covered. With expert advice and tips to help you take action now and inspiring real patient stories from successful individuals who refuse to let their health hold them back. Start your journey to good health today. And don't forget to come and join the conversation on Instagram at good_health. That's G-O-O-D-E. Or visit my website at nicolegoodhealth.com to find out more. Today, I'm welcoming Caroline Hopp onto the Good Health Podcast. Caroline is a master Pilates trainer and health coach with over 20 years experience of working with women in midlife, menopause and beyond. Caroline's interest in health developed at a young age when she was diagnosed with chronic fatigue and ME in her late teens, resulting in many years of searching for a treatment plan that didn't leave her more fatigued or in more pain. In her 20s, she discovered Pilates, which gave her a form of exercise that both challenged her whilst also rehabbing her injuries. She was in no pain for the first time in 10 years. The balanced approach of Pilates meant she was able to reduce her fatigue and still build strength. Within 12 months, she was running long distances, moving regularly, lifting weights and enjoying life, all with no fatigue or pain. Caroline has dedicated most of her career to working with midlife women because she noticed the impact that perimenopause can have and how this correlated with what she experienced in her teens, where a previously fit, strong and confident woman can be debilitated by lethargy, weakness, pain and changes to mood. She trained as a health coach and now works exclusively with women aged 40 plus to help them to understand the impact of menopause and teach them the simplest solutions for an immediate transformation while paying particular attention to the future benefits for metabolic health and the risk of chronic disease. Through Caroline's signature membership, the Mind Body Academy, a combination of movement and health coaching, Caroline is on a mission to help women to live long, strong and confident, energized, independent lives free from pain and chronic disease. Let's jump straight into the conversation today. So Caroline, welcome to the Good Health Podcast. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, it's great to catch up. So we've known each other for a while now, but we haven't spoken for a bit. So it's nice to be able to do this and catch up with you. Today, we're going to dig into Pilates and its health benefits and all of that side of things. So, you know, when we talk about Pilates a lot. It's something that I use a lot with clients when I'm talking to them with exercise. It's one that I think people, particularly if they've got chronic illnesses or they've got fatigue or they're a bit burnt out, Pilates, yoga, those are the sorts of things that we tend to look to as well as sort of walking. So we know that Pilates is really good for us. It's something that if we say to somebody, go and do Pilates, they know it's going to do them good. They know that there's a benefit to it. But what is it about Pilates that makes it so good for us?
Yeah. Okay. I hear what you're saying. There are so many things. I mean, I could go down a complete rabbit hole here with variations. And I mean, I personally came to Pilates off the back of an illness. So the reason why Pilates can be so effective is that to start with, it's reasonably gentle in that you can vary the degree to which you, how hard you work. So there are always modifications. There's always ways that you can adjust it. You can do different variations of it on equipment, with small equipment, on a mat. There's loads of different ways of getting to it. It's also something that you can do at home. You can do it on a video. You can do it in a class. There are lots of ways of accessing it, which makes it good for you immediately because it takes down those initial barriers to entry. The fundamentals about Pilates that make it so good for you is that we work from the inside out. So whereas other exercise routines will maybe focus on big muscles or big movements or big jumps or plyometrics or cardio gains, Pilates works to stabilize you from your center. So we work, most people will know of Pilates benefits to your core and your pelvic floor. We work from that point. So everything starts there. We strengthen from the inside. We work on stability. We make sure the body is really safe and really stable and strong at its core. And then we start to spread out and we start to work the bigger muscles and in bigger ranges. Once you're working in bigger ranges and doing more, you are safe. You're coming at it from a safe perspective. So people often come to Pilates when they've got injuries or illnesses because of that focus, because we start small and we build. Having said that, even starting small, you know, even if you're just working the very, very smallest, deepest internal rotator muscle of your shoulder, we can make that feel really challenging. So a really good teacher will make the smallest move really, really challenging. And the upside of that is that is very little else you can think about when you're doing a Pilates class. If you're doing it right, you can't really be distracted by anything else. You need to be focusing internally on the breathing, on the movement, on the specifics of it. So it's a really nice option if you are suffering with fatigue or stress or anxiety, because often people tell me they come to the class and it just gives them a respite from the rest of the world. So there are so many benefits. There are, you know, muscular benefits. We all know that we need to be building muscle, and we do that in a really safe way. I find often women start to go straight into strength training, for example, because they've heard that over 40, they need to be gaining muscle. And that's all true. But very often people get injured doing those other types of exercise. So coming at it from a space of Pilates and getting that strength and stability first means that you're able to do more in the rest of your life and in the rest of your exercise routine. So it's great for you because it's really safe.
Yeah. So you mentioned something there that I wanted to ask you about, actually, which was adapting exercises within Pilates, because I think this is something that a lot of people, and we'll sort of get into this a little bit more as we go through, but a lot of people that I work with are nervous sometimes because they're going back to exercise. Or they're struggling. They maybe have always exercised, and now if they've got sort of the burnout and that sort of side of things, they're now struggling to do it, particularly to the level that they were. So in terms of being able to adapt or modify the exercises and things, can you do that to different fitness levels, to different health conditions? You know, is there how much variation is there, I guess, is what I'm asking with that.
Huge amount of variation. And that can sound potentially a little bit scary and overwhelming when people think, oh, I just don't know. I don't know what I should and shouldn't be doing. Often with Pilates, we find people come to Pilates usually off the back of something else. 9 times out of 10. And I work predominantly with women midlife and beyond, but I'm talking about everybody when I say this, is that 9 times out of 10, people come to Pilates because of a reason. They've got an injury or an illness and something they're needing to rehab or overcome. So most Pilates teachers, and I say most, there are varying degrees of training and teachers, and it's an unregulated term. So anyone can technically teach Pilates, but do your research, make sure you've got a good teacher with a good amount of experience and a good training school. But most Pilates teachers will be very aware that the people in their class are coming to their class for different reasons. Usually when people start Pilates, it's very rare that people ever stop Pilates. So that should take away some of the fear for people, that it brings you a sense of control over your body and over your health. So when you begin, you need to be a little bit careful, making sure that you just keep the movements nice and small, be really mindful of how you're moving, focus on moving one body part at a time, and really focus on the stability in your body rather than the moving part. The moving part is always the distraction. In Pilates, we want to be working on and thinking about the stable bit. But in terms of modifications, there are thousands, and a good teacher should be telling you what they are all the way through. So, for example, lots of women I work with struggle with their wrists or their shoulders or their necks. So a good teacher will be giving a modification so that you're not putting excess weight through your shoulders or through your wrists. And that might mean a small change in how bent or straight your elbow is, or how connected your core is. And little changes all the time, little snippets of information, mean that you at home, if you're doing it on a video, you should be able to modify it yourself. And a good teacher will be talking, you'll get this from me, talking a lot. They're talking all the time. They're giving constant instruction. So that's why I say it's really great if you're a bit stressed, or if you have anxiety, or you're, you know, a bit nervous. It's a good teacher will talk you through it. Just listen, be prepared to never be right. You're constantly going to be correcting. I've been doing Pilates for 20 years and I'm never right. I'm always correcting and changing my position when I'm doing it. Constant adjustment, constant awareness of where you are in space, what your body's doing. And as long as you're doing that, you're going to be safe. Because as long as you're listening to the cues and listening to the modifications, you're going to be safe. But the teacher really and truly needs to be talking you through that as you go. So a good teacher will be talking a lot. They'll be demonstrating a lot. They'll be moving you and changing your position. And if you're in a class, prepare for that, and that they might come and manually shift you around. Like I say, millions of modifications. You are always going to be safe with a decent teacher, but I would always suggest just take it small, start small, and don't always feel like you need to take the bigger, more exciting option. Because very often when you're, if you're injured, you shouldn't be anyway. But I know from experience in a class of women, there'll be 10 women in there that shouldn't be doing the big variation, the final option. And they'll all take it because they see the person next to them doing it. Now, a good teacher should be empowering you to understand your body and what you're capable of, and knowing that a step that you take maybe a little bit backwards today will give you so many more benefits long term than doing the exciting big move now and then not being able to come back for another 2 weeks. You know, so
yeah.
Take it slowly. Just take your time, and you know, don't be fooled into thinking that the big moves are the harder moves, because often they're not.
Yeah, that's something that I had with exercise when I first got back in, was that if I stopped exercising and then start again, as I start doing something, if I push it too much, I then will be back out of exercise for however long, to a couple of weeks or something. It can be too much. And I think that's coming at exercise with a chronic illness. And that sort of, you know, pacing yourself and easing yourself in, as frustrating as it can be. And I know how frustrating it can be to have to go slow, because I've had to do this so many times. But when you do go slow and you sort of just, you take that on board and you just accept it, I think that's what you have to do, is just accept going slow and taking it, those sort of baby steps and getting there. Actually, you're exactly right. You stay in the exercise and you keep being able to do it long term. And that's what gets you the results, isn't it? At the end of the day, you know, if you do it for 2 weeks at the higher level and then find you're out for a few weeks again, that's not going to get you the same results as doing the small steps and being able to continue.
And the power of Pilates is in the detail, you know, it is really in the small moves. It's the difference between having your hand at your temple or having your hand behind your head. You know, that can make a huge difference to posture. For some person, that's going to send them into a scrunch. So although that's your optimum variation, maybe for that exercise, for other people, having your hand here is going to give you much more openness and connection. So I'm sorry, for the sake of the audio, wherever your hand is makes a difference over your posture. So taking a variation that feels like you're not necessarily pushing yourself as hard as you could be, but a variation that means that you are able to achieve the focus of the exercise, which, for example, could be improving your posture. If that's your focus, how do you best manage to do that today? Knowing that in a month's time, that will be different. You know, we will move you on and you will change. And the great thing about Pilates is that I find people notice differences really quickly, that very quickly people are saying, oh, someone noticed that I was sitting a bit taller at the table, or, oh, I managed to touch my toes, or, oh, I didn't need to warm up before I got out of bed this morning. You know, the differences and the changes happen quite quickly if you're consistent. But like you say, consistency is the goal, much, much more than, you know, the big moves, because it's what keeps you there and it keeps you moving forwards.
It's easy to see how that would work in, for people who don't know Pilates, it's easy for them to see how that would work in a one-to-one kind of environment, you know, with you there watching the person, helping them, talking to them all the time, exactly as you've kind of explained. But if people are thinking actually they would rather do a class, if one-to-one's maybe not an option for them, they want to do a sort of Pilates class, is that still something that is easily done within a group environment? Is it still, what, you know, should people be looking for a teacher that does come out and move them, you know, and sort of adjust them? How does it work differently, I guess, is what I'm asking, in a sort of group environment compared to a one-to-one?
Yeah, I mean, of course, in a one-to-one, you're tailoring it exactly for what that one person needs. But having said that, I run groups and I run online. And my feeling is, so to give you an example, during COVID, I set up a membership where people were doing the exercises at home. So 20-minute sessions that I was advising they do 3 a week. When we came back into real life classes after that, the difference between the women that had been doing that and the women that had been doing nothing was monumental. I can't tell you the difference in the way those women were moving compared to the people that hadn't been doing it. Now, these are all people that knew Pilates, but some had been doing it consistently at home on a video, and some had been doing none because they felt like they wanted the real life class. But the point I'm making is that even doing it at home on a video was such a difference in their posture and their control and their awareness and their strength than not doing it at all. So my advice would be find a way that works for you. You know, if you're not confident to go to a class, do it at home. If you can't get to a class, do it at home. If you can get to one-to-one and afford one-to-one, do that. But find a variation that works for you and your time and your budget and just commit to it, because you will get benefits either way. And like I say, with a good teacher who's able to cue you correctly. So you need a teacher really that has experience of working with people. So I've got 20 years of working with women, and it's only been the last 4 years that I've started doing stuff online. So all of those 20 years have been built, or the 16 years, we're building experience of understanding what bodies do, what compensations people make. You know, people often say to me, I never understand how you can correct me when you can't even see me. And the reason for that is just that I know 9 times out of 10, I know what the mistakes are going to be. So I can run a class and I cannot move from the front of the class. I do, but I wouldn't necessarily need to. I'd be able to cue from where I am, because I can see as a group collective the mistakes that people are likely to make. So do what works for you, but do something that you can commit to. And any Pilates is better than no Pilates. I truly 100% believe that. It's something you'll be doing until your final day on this earth, because it will just make you feel so strong and capable.
Yeah. Looking at that, I know you sort of said there you can do it right through sort of old age as well. And that sort of, I've been doing a lot of work lately on sort of health span, helping in terms of staying fitter for longer. This sort of longevity picture that we have, which is, you know, we all want to live longer, but actually, do we want to live longer if we're not fit and healthy? This is the big question, isn't it? And I think, you know, something like Pilates actually is expanding your health span, maybe not necessarily looking at your lifespan with it, but your health span in terms of keeping you fitter for longer. And that, I think, is a much more valuable measurement than our lifespan of how long we live. But what sort of symptoms can Pilates help with? So if people have got, you know, aches and pains and things like that, what can it help with? What benefits can people expect to find from, you know, sort of starting Pilates?
Okay, so I just to say, I completely agree with you in that the idea of being able to live a long, healthy, strong, capable, independent life is just something that we're not focusing on enough. We're in a kind of health crisis, aren't we, where you know, we're not going to be able to rely on the healthcare that we have. So
yeah.
I think most people come to Pilates with some kind of musculoskeletal issue. So it might be that your lower back is playing up, you've got hip pain, joint pain, shoulders, necks are a big one, posture. So those are the kind of physical conditions that people tend to come with. I work with a lot of women around menopause age, because it's the point in your life where things start to go wrong. As your hormones are changing, so is your body. Often women come to me at that point that they've got maybe something that's been niggling for a few years. Maybe they've always had a little bit of pelvic pain since having children, for example, and suddenly it's got worse. And what I would say to people is, at that point, when you feel that change and you suddenly start to notice a shift, that's the point to get on top of it, not in 10 years' time. So thinking about and being really aware of your body, you know, people say to me things like, I'm struggling to roll over in bed because my body hurts. Those are the kind of times, or when I get out of bed in the morning, I'm hobbling for the first 10 steps. Those are the symptoms, the real life symptoms, where you want to go, okay, this is only going to get worse. I need to get on top of this now. And whereas 10 years ago in your 20s or 30s, these things might have resolved. You might have found that you got a niggle and then it got better again and it was okay, or a little bit of stretching was enough. Now that's not going to be the case. So definitely any kind of muscular issue, any skeletal issue, any changes due to menopause, joint pain, arthritis, those kind of things. But also the other reason lots of people do it is, like, as I've already mentioned, is for the mind-body connection, is the cutting out of the rest of the world, the giving yourself a sense of calm and peace and connection with your body. That can be incredibly powerful for the rest of your day and the rest of your life. It's that, and I saw a meme the other day and someone said, you know when Pilates is working for you, when just doing Pilates just makes you feel normal again. That's what it takes to get to normal. And when we're looking at the long-term lifespan and health span, we want to make sure that we've got a body now that is going to support us in 20 or 30 years' time. So it's looking ahead a little bit. And you might want to do things like look at your family, look at your mum. You know, one of my clients said to me, her mum was using a TENS machine to get out of bed in the morning by the age of 70. That's something that you might just want to consider. If that was my mum, could that be me as well? If you're really mobile, hypermobile, or have ever struggled with dislocated joints, that kind of thing, that's going to be a problem in 10 years' time. So just looking at your body, looking at maybe your family history and figuring out if there's a reason for you to be doing this. And the other thing is you're looking at your elderly parents and you're thinking, oh my God, you know, they can't even bring the shopping in from the car, or they can't go for a walk because they need the toilet all the time. You know, look at those things as patterns that might also apply to you down the line. And how can you get ahead of that now? Because prevention is the answer. It's not sexy and it's not exciting, but it's the reality is that we're looking at creating a body that we're going to be able to live in for the next however many years that we want to be on the planet. So if you're struggling with any kind of niggle, any injury, Pilates is definitely the next step.
Yeah. It's about not accepting these things that we see as natural aging. I think we've become kind of adapted, I think, to sort of accepting, you know, like, oh, well, you get arthritis when you get older, you get a bit of joint pain, you get muscular pain, you know, but actually it doesn't have to be that way necessarily. I'm not saying that we don't age, we do age, but there's a lot of things that we have become a bit accustomed to accepting as aging that we shouldn't really accept as aging, and that we can do things about those niggles and we don't have to live with them.
Oh, absolutely. And like you say, it's that acceptance piece. It's realizing that, yeah, we're aging and yeah, there's going to be some wear and tear and we might not feel as sprightly as we did, but it's not accepting that as normal. And I see lots of women, you know, the menopause piece is having a huge amount of press. It's having its moment, which is amazing. But there's still so many women that accept changes to things like their energy, their fatigue, their cognition, these kind of things. And they're accepting it as age and putting it in the bracket of age.
Yeah, I see so many people come to me because I work with energy and immunity and that's that side of things. So I get so many women at that age that have got the brain fog, the fatigue, you know, the energy levels have dropped. They're just not feeling as good as they used to feel. And it comes on quite quickly with a lot of them. You know, all of a sudden they're starting to feel this way. And I'm working with so many women like that now. And I think this is actually why a lot of people aren't necessarily looking for answers. The women obviously that are coming to me are not accepting it. They're the ones that are saying, I want to do something about this. What can I do to get back? But there are a lot of people that don't reach out, that are not working on it. And I think a lot of that is exactly as we've been saying. They've accepted that actually they're getting older, they're going to be more tired, they're going to have the joint pain, you know, these things are going to happen, they're going to have brain fog, they're not going to be quite as sharp. But there's so much that can be done, as you've said, in a preventative way to protect from the future. But even if these things have started, or even if you've suddenly started to get these symptoms, you know, you can still jump in and do things, can't you, to help?
Absolutely. And I like to work on the basis of, let's get you an immediate transformation now, so you're feeling stronger and brighter and more energetic and your cognition is clearer. And obviously, as you know, there's tons you can do around nutrition on that. But there is loads of research coming out more so now around the idea of connecting your mind and your body and the impact that can have. So when you're moving, but you're really having to think about how you're moving. So we know that walking is great and we know that lifting weights is great, but having that real specificity over how you're moving is so good for cognition. So let's get you a transformation now so you feel better in your body, in your confidence. But let's also then, once we've got that, let's keep that and keep it for the long term. And I think you're absolutely right. There's a potential gap between people realizing there's even a problem and understanding that it's not normal to feel like this, maybe it's normal, but let's not accept it. Do everything we can to, you know, make the changes. And often I hear the lifestyle around your kind of 40s and 50s and, you know, elderly parents, kids leaving home, busy jobs, busy lives, coming up to retirement, but not quite there yet. So much going on, so few boundaries around it. The women put up with a lot and they're very often right at that bottom of the pile. So noticing that your mood is low or that your energy is low or that actually that joint pain isn't normal, noticing it is one thing and having the time to do anything about it is another thing. So finding a way that, like we've said already, finding a way to incorporate this in your life that isn't overwhelming and that can just be, you know, 5 minutes here and there. I have a thing in the membership, which is a 5 minute more, and it's just 5 minutes. So if you can do that a couple of times a week at your desk, in your kitchen, wherever, that's a really great starting point. Better than nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's learning something new as well, because I talk to a lot of women at that sort of age where they are having the brain fog and the cognitive, and men as well, actually. A lot of men are coming to me as well with this sort of cognitive dysfunction as they get to that sort of age, which that sort of 40s and 50s. And I talk to them a lot about learning something new, because that activates a whole other part of the brain, and it's helping keep, you know, we're using the age-old saying, isn't it? If you don't use it, you lose it. And, you know, it's the same with our brain. You know, as a child, we're learning something new constantly. You know, we're at school, we're studying, we're even as babies, you know, you're starting to learn to crawl and learn to walk, and, you know, we're learning so much. And then the older we get, I think the less we sort of learn new things, which is probably exactly, as you've said, comes down to that lifestyle of that busy lifestyle. You know, you're in your job, you're actually doing quite well at your job now. So you're not necessarily learning something new in your job. You're more sort of, you know, you're building and growing in it, but not necessarily learning something new. And we don't do those things as much as we get older, but that is really important as well for that, you know, cognitive function as we get older. It's really important to learn something new, and actually going out and doing something like picking up a new skill like Pilates is really good for that brain function and that cognitive function as we get older as well.
Definitely. And the difficulty with movement is that it's not just use it or lose it, it's use it or it will get really hard. You know, like if you don't use it, it's going to get really hard. Your pelvic floor, if you don't strengthen it, it's going to let you down. You know, your body, if you don't strengthen it, it's going to get really painful. So it's use it or it's going to become really, really hard. And that's going to have a huge impact on the rest of your life and on your fun. You know, our later years, we want that retirement to be all about traveling or grandkids, or you want to be the granny that's at the water park, and you want to be the granddad that's, you know, off on a 3-day hike. You know, we want to do these things. So we have to be looking after our bodies to be able to get us to that point. And it's never too late to start that. My dad started in the 70s, and he said for the first time in 25 years, he hasn't got back pain. So he's only trusted me for the last 3 years, but
Yeah, and that's typical though, isn't it? When we do something like this, it's typical that they sort of take it on a little later.
Better late than never though. It's never too late.
Exactly. It's never too late. I always say that. It's never too late. So what is the difference between yoga and Pilates? Like we said at the beginning, you know, there are two things, yoga, Pilates, walking. If people are particularly sort of with, which we'll come on to, but sort of chronic fatigue patients, things like this, they tend to be the things that we sort of recommend. Probably people have got more of a concept if they're not doing, you know, not sort of doing these things, not already doing Pilates. I think people generally have probably got a bit more of a concept of what yoga is, maybe to what Pilates is. So can you kind of explain the difference between the two and what might make somebody choose Pilates over yoga?
Absolutely. So my advice would be is that they sit really nicely together. I do both. I love both. Yoga for me, and I'll speak about it from my perspective, is that yoga is I feel amazing when I'm doing it and after I've done it. It's more about sitting in, and there are different types of yoga, but generally speaking, you sit in specific postures. They're all about opening the body, lengthening, finding space, improving posture, and the breathing. So Pilates is slightly different in that it's more about moving. It's about moving within specific ranges. So whereas yoga is a holding of a position generally, and that can be faster or slower depending on which type you're doing. Generally speaking, you're holding postures and poses. In Pilates, you're moving. If I was going to be recommending yoga, I would more recommend it from the mental health perspective, in that it's very mindful, very flowy. You get lots of stretching and opening of the body, which can release so much tension. And so it's brilliant from that perspective. And like I say, I absolutely love it. Can't speak highly enough of it. Pilates, I would do if I was injured. If I was coming at this from a aches, pains, strengthening perspective, I would do Pilates. So I had a lady contact me as an example recently, and she was wanting to start lifting weights. She's got some back pain, and her GP has advised that she needs to improve her bone health. So she's got osteoporosis. She needs to build some new bone. So we look at muscle building to do that. But the problem is that she's injured at the same time. So to send her straight into a gym and start lifting heavy weights would be crazy. For her, to put her in a yoga class probably wouldn't be quite the right thing, because she doesn't have the strength to be able to support this opening and lengthening. And she could end up stretching too far, making movements too big, and causing more problems. Whereas in Pilates, we will be looking at bringing her into her strength. So getting that internal strength so that when she goes to lift a weight, she's got the strength and support in her core to make sure that she's not falling into bad habits or using the wrong muscles or only relying on the big muscles that are going to pull your bones into difficult positions. So we need to make sure that in Pilates, you've got that strengthening of not just the big muscles, but also the tiny little stabilizers. And that's often the difference between yoga and Pilates, is that yoga's more about the fluidity and the movement and the opening. Pilates probably does the opposite. It brings you a bit more into a box. It controls you and stabilizes you. And that's where your strength is in the stability. So you do get massive improvements to posture and mobility and flexibility, but you get even better improvements to balance and control and support and pain. So I would say those are the two differences. If you have the time, do both.
Yeah.
But if you're injured, do Pilates. That's where that would be my recommendation. And then once you've got over that injury, then start adding in other movement techniques like strength training and like yoga.
Yeah.
But yeah, great. I love it.
You started your sort of health journey started around chronic fatigue when you were very young.
Yeah.
And that's where my journey sort of started as well. So that's we have that in common. And I think you were young. I think you were about 15.
Yeah, I was teenagers.
Yeah, so I was sort of 17. So I was a little bit older than you, but sort of similar sort of age. Were you always interested in sport prior to that? Is that something that has grown as part of the health journey? And how has getting into exercise post having something like chronic fatigue, sort of helped and benefited you? And how hard has it been?
Yeah, I think people often assume I was a sporty kid, and my kids are really sporty, but I'm not sporty at all, or I wasn't. So I would be the kid that would turn up with an umbrella for rugby practice, like I really wasn't. So I had an illness when I was in my teenage years that spurred on chronic fatigue and an ongoing ME. And it put me on a kind of a path of trying to find a solution, because there isn't a cure to either of those. And for me, the answer was movement. So I tried lots of different things, and eventually I would do things like I would start running and then it would hurt my knees and I'd have to stop. And so in the end, I found my way to a Pilates studio in London, and I was in my sort of early 20s at this point. And it just fixed me in every way that something can fix a person. It made me strong. It gave me some confidence. It made me tired in a way that I could understand. I was no longer just knackered because I was exhausted. I was tired because my muscles had been working. So it kind of flipped that fatigue in my head from something that I needed to avoid to something that I was almost kind of chasing a little bit. I liked the feeling that it was like a muscle. I worked, I'd earned it. It was the turning point. There's no sort of simpler way of saying it other than it just spurred me and it put me in a different direction. I was and am now able to run. I've never been injured since. I do still struggle with fatigue, and more so from the perspective of being a bit frightened of it than it actually being a real thing. It doesn't really exist anymore, but I'm always just very aware of it. And it's just put me into a different lifestyle. So I really take care of my physical health, my mental health, my emotional health, my energy. Those things are really important to me. And Pilates was absolutely the linchpin in changing that. And that has spurred on all sorts of different pursuits and since. But I would recommend it to anybody that has a concern over their energy levels, because it really does work you without working you. It really does all the good stuff without any of the bad. You don't have those days and days of muscle soreness afterwards. In fact, you really shouldn't get too much of that after a Pilates class. So it's, I'd highly recommend it for anyone with any kind of chronic illness.
If people are listening to this and thinking, or now thinking, maybe they weren't at the beginning, but maybe they are now, thinking that they'd actually like to start Pilates, like to get into it, what would be your advice for a person who is maybe a little bit nervous about it, or has got an injury or fatigue or whatever it might be? How would you advise that they get started? What would you say are sort of the first steps?
I would say don't be afraid of it. I would say find a variation that works for you. Like we said, if you need to be at home, you have commitments, or you can only fit in 20 minutes in your lunch break at work, or you want to get out and you want to socialize and see people, go to a class, otherwise do something online. I would highly recommend that you don't use lack of resources as a reason not to do it, or a lack of time as a reason not to do it. Just start. You're not going to cause any harm. Work with a decent teacher. Make sure that that teacher, if you're in the flesh, make sure they understand your concerns and if you have any injuries. If you're doing something online, take the cues from the teacher. Listen. Don't try and do it when you've got four kids in the room with you. You know, take some space. Don't have the TV on. Really, really sort of focus. But I would say don't be afraid of it. Start small, start often, build up the consistency and just start to build it into your life.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. I think it's the same advice that I give people with, you know, whether it's nutrition steps, lifestyle steps, whatever it might be. It's just take the first step, you know, whatever it might be, however small it might be, and build from there. And I think, you know, small steps make big change. And I think that's...
You don't need an overhaul. Anyone can do a sprint, but it's the marathon we're here for, really.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's a really great place to finish. I think that's a lovely, lovely sentiment to finish on. Caroline, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been great talking to you.
We're just happy to spread the word. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. We'll add the links below the episode for you so that people can find you on your Instagram and on your website, and find, we'll link your membership as well if people do want to get started and want to have a look at what you're doing with that and your website so they can find your classes and things.
Always up for questions, and you know, feel free to, if anyone's listening and they want to know a bit more, just ask me a question. I'm really happy to help people out and point people in the right direction.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for that. We'll make sure all the links below the episode so people can do that.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Good Health Podcast. Do share the episode with anyone who you think it may benefit or who may enjoy it. And help me spread the word by rating the episode or leaving a review. If you want more, you can find other episodes in the series on your podcast app or sign up to my free newsletter. Not only will you get information on new episodes launching, but we cover lots of health topics with the Ask Nicole section where you can send in your questions, my favorite recipes, my favorite products, tips and tricks to help you on the road to good health, and much more. You can sign up free of charge at nicolegoodhealth.com/newsletter, also linked below. I hope you have a lovely week. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and I'll see you next time.